Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Castology.
This is Castology, and I am one of your castologists, Zane C. Weber, here with my fellow castologists,
Nick Bleeker
and
Elizabeth H. Best.
And it's been a while. It's been a while since we've had a full episode.
It's been a while between drinks.
So I'm looking forward to a whole episode with lots of recommendations from someone other than Liz.
Fuck you.
Well,
I'm good enough.
Seven from you last week.
I'm valid.
You are valid.
I was listing. It was an audio listicle.
I'm okay with that, and I look forward to my own listicle.
We're calling them tiny sows.
Tiny sows.
So we're into our new format now. So congratulations, Liz, for doing the first tiny sow episode.
Thanks, it was scary.
But now we're doing our regular episodes where we each bring a recommendation, tell you what it's about, and then we'll go back and we'll review the recommendations that we brought on the last full episode, which was now 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Excellent. So let's dive straight in. I'm going to start with Nick.
So my recommendation this week, full disclosure, I can't remember if it was a user submitted show. I also can't remember putting it on the where I got it from. However, long story short,
good start.
The show is called Crime in Sports, which is pretty self-explanatory.
Sounds like I like half of those things.
And the one that you like is sport. The show really is a very, very in-depth guide. So big asterisks here. The episodes are fucking long.
How dare you?
So I pull a Zane here, and I've gone for the 2-3-ish hour episodes.
How very dare you?
I've only recommended one or two podcasts that are that long.
Never recommended a podcast that's
been
that long.
Yeah, but that's because you're the one that has the big issue with it.
Yeah, I know.
And look, to be fair, so do I, which is a bit ironic considering what I'm recommending now. But this,
it is, you say ironic, I say hypocritical.
Tomato, tomato.
Leave me alone. So this one really is essentially you get what you get in the title, but it's a much more lighter, researched look at crime and sports. So it does really look at it with a bit of a lens of kind of the idiocy of some of the crimes that have been executed in
comedy.
The world of sports.
It's a comedy lens.
Yeah, yeah. So the actual two hosts are James and Jimmy are both comedians. Fair warning, there is a bro-y vibe. There is definitely a Barstool bro-y kind of vibe.
Bro-y vibe, but dude bro-y vibe. There's a difference. Yeah, there's locker room bro, and there's just yo bro.
Yeah, and look,
they're different.
Your definitions may vary, but my vibe is okay. This is bro-y. That's acceptable, but it's not like dude bro when I recommended Tiny Meat Gang and you fucking hated it. And which is
locker
fair.
Room bro.
No, which is fair.
I won't have a fucking
which
bar
is fair.
Off.
Which is fair. So really, this is definitely a very much a pick an episode and listen to it.
That's generally how this podcast
works. But
so nothing to recommend specifically?
Yeah. No, not really. To be honest, the quality of the show does improve. There's a shitload of episodes, 270 episodes,
Jesus.
I think.
Well done, boys.
Yeah, they've done a very, very good job. But I think the more recent ones are kind of a really good start. Only because, to be honest, not to be the audio person, but the audio, they improve their audio significantly and the show becomes much more listenable in the later stages of its life.
Sweet.
But yeah, it's pretty simple. It really is just common sports. Pick something that looks interesting and just go.
Great.
Yeah, bang on.
Excited.
Deal. Let's go to you, Liz.
Well, yeah, you would have to, because we're going from the longest format to the very shortest format. So the podcast that I'm recommending this week is a daily serial called Coma Girl. Now, the reason that I found this is because it's written by an author called Stephanie Bond, who writes a book series that I read called Body Movers, about people who move bodies for the morgue. And it's kind of like one of those cozy mysteries where there's a murder to be solved every book, and she just somehow happens to find herself in this kind of what am I doing? And
wacky
she's also
hijinks
choosing between two guys and like what happened? And I love it. It's one of those trashy novel series that I love. And so Stephanie Bond decided to do those, you know how they used to have like daily serials in the newspaper have like a column and that's what it is. So these episodes, there's 187 of them.
Holy fuck.
But they only range between 2 and 8 minutes. Like there's nothing that's much longer than 10, and even then that's an absolute push.
Can we know anything about the premise?
I'm about to tell you. I'm about to get there. So it's a romantic comedy mystery. And look, full disclosure, I'm expecting you guys to hate this. I brought this fully expecting you guys to hate it. So it's basically there's a woman lying in a coma and it's the voice in her head, so she can hear everything that's going along. And so she is kind of talking to herself in her head about the things that are happening in and around her bed. So there's several different characters that come in, like, you know, who caused the car accident that she was in. And then there's a nun that comes in and decides to confess their secrets. And then there's also, I got a real big buzz because a character from the book series that I listened to, Detective Jack Terry, who I'm in love with, also waltzes into the coma ward. And so, yeah, like, so she's, Stephanie has over 100 novels with 7 million copies published. So obviously she's popular with her audience, which is me.
Yeah.
I'm expecting you guys to hate it.
Okay. Can I ask why specifically you expect us to hate it? Is it like...
It's very... Look, when I describe these books to people as books that I love reading, they're my trashy novels. They're like, if you lined them all up, they would all be in pink. Like, you know, they're just...
They're my, like those are romance novellas that you...
It's not like Harlequin romance. Yeah. It's like a little bit of a murder mystery with a girl who's a little bit of a klutz and...
On a scale of... one to pornography.
Oh, there's
How smutty is it?
It's not smutty.
Oh, okay.
No.
So it's just pulpy. It's not
it's
trashy.
It's pulpy, yeah.
Right.
Okay. It's one to pornography.
Yeah, but she's also written other daily serials like Elevator Girl, Lottery Girl, Factory Girl, and Comeback Girl, but this is the only one that she's released as a podcast.
Okay.
And so, yeah, like I bloody loved it and I can't wait till she comes up with, till the other ones come out because... When you find an author that you just love, it's an easy listen for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Easy. Yeah. I'm interested because I did not know that you had a pulp novel addiction.
Other author I really love is like Janet Ivanovich with all the Stephanie Plum books. Like, and they're all, and there's, you know, Victoria Laurie where they're like ghost hunters and they're, anyway, I just love it. They're like little murder mysteries every single book with a little bit of like, comedy romance on the side. They call them cozy mysteries, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, when you say cozy mystery, I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll wait and see if I am correct.
Coma Girl. But more of this format, please. Okay. Like,
sounds great.
Having something to listen to, and I was really lucky that I came in when it was halfway through being released, so I binged everything and then was like, oh no, I have to wait till tomorrow. But it was actually the highlight of my day, like getting in my car and listening to the 5 minutes of the new story as it got released.
Yeah.
So
having experimented with the daily podcast myself, did you get sick of the ratio of content to intro outro?
So the intro outro is very good. You only have to press the 15 seconds forward button at the start and then you have to press it twice at the end. Ooh, and that's
like that.
That's all there is. So and the good thing about it that I think would actually work for other podcasts is that Stephanie gets on and goes, hi, I'm Stephanie Bond. What did you think about this episode? Log on to the social media and have a chat about it in our group.
Okay.
There was no like, this is read by this person, this is read by that person. It's all just a little outro of the author going, let's have a discussion about what we just heard. Bye.
Okay.
I did find the music got stuck in my head, but now when I figured out exactly how many skips forward I needed to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, my recommendation this week is a movie podcast.
Hooray!
But it's not a traditional movie podcast.
Hooray!
It's a movie improv podcast.
Oh, I'm either going to love this or fucking hate it.
It's called Stir the Plot. And
puns, I love it.
What a fucking name.
It is a great title because it's exactly what it does. And it's three improv comedians who watch the first scene of a movie and the last scene of a movie, and they improvise how it gets from one to the other. and then they go back and basically watch the movie and compare it and talk about the movie, et cetera, et cetera.
Brilliant.
But it is very, very funny. You can tell that these guys
dumbtastic.
These guys have a great rapport. They've worked together a lot, and yeah, they kind of play off each other. Sometimes they have seen the movie, so they know the changes that they're making. But honestly, the better episodes are the ones where the majority of them haven't seen the whole movie.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's very, some of the concepts that they come up with would be interesting movies in themselves.
You're like, I would watch that movie.
Not the majority of them, I'll say. Not the majority of them, but definitely some of them I would watch that movie.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so this is really fun, kind of easy listening. This is just fun comedy.
They've already got a brownie point for the pun in the name.
Yeah, that name is just a killer, and it's very good.
Yeah, so there's not a lot left to say. It's, yeah, three guys. The production values are pretty good. They can't play the first scenes, obviously. So basically they do a dramatic reading.
Amazing.
Of
I want in.
yeah. So that's Stir the Plot.
Nice.
So let us go back to the podcast that we recommended last week, or the last episode, last full episode.
Last fortnight.
Yeah, so let's start with, let's get it out of the way, shall we? Nick's, Nick's recommendation of Exploration Radio.
So my recommendation last fortnight was Exploration Radio.
And why? Why did you choose this particular...
At that particular time. Yeah.
So the podcast is about... geology and mining.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting, I think it came through as part of our recommendations list, as far as I'm aware. I can't remember.
No.
How the fuck did I find it then?
You found it because
later in the year,
we have a niche off where we're trying to find the most niche podcast, and 2 weeks in a row.
I don't think it was 2 weeks in a row.
Well,
it
was 2 weeks in very short succession.
Close.
Nick put a podcast recommendation in his up next slot instead of in the niche off slot.
Yeah, there were three episodes in the middle.
Okay.
Where there wasn't a niche podcast.
And so this is supposed to, so now Nick needs to find a third podcast for our niche off thing.
And look, to be honest, like, I've done a great job like niching off, but I've been doing it too early. So
yeah, you might have blown your load too early.
Blown my load too early. So now I've got to really dig deep for this for the next one. But Exploration Radio is a podcast that basically discusses about exploration in mining and geology. It's hosted by two, I think that from memory, the PhD, look, I'll be honest, I haven't listened to the show for a few weeks, but hosted by two PhD researchers. It's very meticulous. It is a bit dry, but that's what you get when you get geology and mining. What did you think?
Okay, so I'm going to turn around my little notepad.
Yeah, cool.
Here,
what does it say?
And have a look under. What does it say under Exploration Radio?
So Liz, just to paint the picture, I'm looking at Liz's very exploded notes, and it says Exploration Radio. No.
I'm just give no shits about rocks.
How much,
I'm sorry.
How much did you listen to?
2/3 of an episode.
Okay.
Well done to them for having a podcast, and the voices were fine. No one's voices annoyed me. The sound quality was fine. I just give no shits about rocks. I give less of a shit about these rocks than I did about stone clearing. Stone clearing was weird. This is like normal boring for me.
This would have won me the niche off, I reckon.
I don't think so.
I think mine would easily beat this. This is mining, and there's still
a lot
pretty
of mining.
Broad.
How is that broad though? It's still niche, right? Because like mining,
how
like,
much
gives
money
a shit?
Is made from it?
I mean, but that's
fair.
It is an industry.
Okay,
so there's a lot of different moving parts of
like
that.
Like, there's
industry.
Not a stone clearing industry.
That is,
and the niche
one
off that I
one
bought.
Person's passion.
The niche off that I bought. My response was laundry.
Mm. Oh yeah, true.
So like there are a lot of rocks and a lot of things that people do with rocks. They don't think you would have won the niche off.
That being
rocks.
Said, I kind of like.
I knew it.
Yeah, like it is industry, but it's not focused at industry people. It is focused for people who are interested. And some of the, like, I only listened to one episode, but it was a really solid episode where it was just interviewing someone about a diamond mine.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, this is really interesting.
I'm really glad you liked it so that it doesn't just seem like I have my
Like, to be fair, like, I have a reputation for liking dry podcasts.
And this rocks are Zane dry.
This is pretty dry. There's not a lot of jazz involved in geology. And there's only so much leeway you can take with the content to make it entertaining. And to be fair, they don't push that envelope at all.
No.
Like, it is just like, yeah, we like mining and let's talk to this person about what they do.
Stop, please. I hate rocks.
Help.
No, but if you're interested in the subject matter, this is interesting. And honestly, if you're interested in just like science in general, the audio quality is not difficult to listen to. If you maybe pick your guests, because I listened to one and I think the guest was a particularly good one. So maybe other guests aren't as good. But yeah, like this is a good podcast if you're interested in the content. Yeah, it's not gonna get you interested in geology, I'm gonna say.
It really won't. Like, it's not gonna be like the thing that really sparks this interest in geology and mining.
No, although obviously Facebook must have been listening when I was listening to the podcast, because I started getting a lot of rock themed things in my algorithm. Someone's like, I bought a fucking rock tumbler and here's what happened. I'm like, I don't fucking care. So much rocks. Anyway.
Okay. So after two misfires, that's I am looking forward to your
they were both rock based podcasts. One was rock climbing and one was rock mining.
I love rocks.
I think you really just wanted to get your rocks hone in off on the stone clearing.
Yeah, you're just like, that makes it niche and therefore I win.
Yep.
I still haven't put mine in the thing because I don't want you guys to know what I know until that's the totally day fine. That we have to do it.
I'm so confident in mine that mine's just going to sit there. Like,
it has been sitting there for a while.
I'm not going to change it. Like, I'm very, yeah, I'm good. Very happy
I'm glad
with mine.
You're not going
to
change it.
Even if it doesn't win, like, I'm happy to recommend that podcast because it's so bizarre.
Okay.
Let's go to mine, because mine is something that I wasn't sure how you would react to. My recommendation last week was Slaughterhouse Road, which was, it describes itself on its website as a chill Australiana romantic horror alt-country musical podcast.
That is a very good description of what it is.
Yeah, and it's only a few episodes. It has, I'm going to say, a full cast, as in there's a bunch of actors that to do it. And it is musical-y. So I guess that's all I really have to say. What did you think?
All right, so picture this. I am driving my car down a dusty, bucolic road on the way to my parents' farm listening to this podcast. I could not have picked...
That's how it's meant to be done.
I could not have picked a better time to be listening to it. So I really enjoyed it, and it does what it sets out to do. But the one thing that I get Australiana cultural cringe... And I feel bad that I'm not super patriotic about everything that's super ochre.
I don't feel bad about it. I also get the cringe.
Yeah, like when something's super ochre, it just makes me anxious. However, I knew nothing about this going in. I didn't listen to you. I went in and listened to it before we'd talked about what it was.
Yeah.
And I was really pleasantly surprised. I really like that there is someone out there repping Australia with music that I'd actually probably listen to, like, if the lyrics weren't as twee as they are.
Yeah.
The actual musical tone I really dug, and the fact that they lent it, because I was like, oh, it's a musical. Like, I thought this was just the intro song, but like little montage of like the outback Australiana kind of sounds and stuff. I haven't finished it. I listened to the two episodes.
Okay, yeah.
And what happened at the end of the second episode made me a little bit squeamish, so I stopped. But I am planning on going back to it. It was I love that people are out there doing this. I just do have I got the cringe.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if that is a global thing or whether that is like an Australian thing.
Well, it's not an American thing. That people were like, "Fuck yeah, America."
But maybe I do think that like people raised in the USA South might feel that, like, with the, like, southern
yeah,
really southern things, like when they're presented with that outside of that context,
yeah,
they're kind of like, oh.
Yeah, oh, write in and let us know if, yeah, you get cultural cringe by when something is so much of the culture that you are from, like rammed right in there. Do you feel awkward about it? Because I really do.
What did you think, Nick?
Well, you know what my response was when you were like, it's a musical, and I was like, oh.
Nick hates musicals.
Well, we had a really good discussion pre-show actually about musicals, because I the thing is, like, I don't know a lot about them, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't raised on them. I fucking hate them, because for the most part, the only ones that I saw were the basic ones that you saw at schools and shit.
And the ones, yeah, that are, yeah, like, popular to everybody, which means they have very little substance.
Yeah. And look, to me, like, this show, like, in all honesty, it was very, it's quite charming. Like, it's actually quite a charming, yeah, show. But, and I think, Lisa, I think you made a really good point about, like, the music, that they do a really good job of making the music feel very much part of it. Like,
it does.
It really flows beautifully, instead of being like, stop, let's
there's
go.
There's no jazz, you know, like, hands moment.
Yeah, there's none
it's
of that
just,
shit.
It's like it's a play with songs.
Yep. Yeah. And I did get a little bit like, oh, cool, like the intro song. I was like, oh, no, this is yeah, an actual part of the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And look, this one thing I would highly recommend is, if you're listening to the show, it's like a 45, 50-minute drive. Do that.
Especially, yeah, if you're going out to a farm. I'm telling you, I'm passing like sheep and windmills and kangaroos, and I'm like, fuck yeah, Australia.
Ah, you're true blue. But my, and this is a huge, huge, but, huge bugbear.
Mm.
The Australianism in this is far too much.
It just kind of bends just outside the level of expect of
yeah.
I can't think
it,
of the
it
word.
Feels to me like
acceptability
when you see an American playing an Australian, right? Or you see Australians putting on the,
okay,
accent.
Okay, no. The Simpsons does Australia.
Yes,
like
yeah, and there's a lot, and also I
get
think
get me didgeridoo, mate.
Some of the dialogue really start, like in this one. There was one moment I think in the second episode where I like. No offense to Slaughterhouse Road people, but like it hurt my soul, because I was like, that dialogue is just so bad, because the delivery of it, like, emphasized
the
actual.
I don't think
the
dialogue was bad. I think it's this. Mm, it's the cultural cringe moment. I really do.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I
sure.
feel like.
Also, okay. It is 50 minutes, and they cram a lot of Australiana into that 50 minutes.
They do.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's like, you know, it's like, put the snags on and all these little colloquialisms, and you're like, all right, great. Like, I'm listening to people out west. But
I also
then,
just wonder, like, because we do live in a metropolitan area. Like,
true. It is, yeah, true. And look, to
and
me.
And look, a lot of the people that live out near where my parents live do sound like they're cartoon Australians. I love them,
yeah,
and they're adorable.
But I mean, like, when I go out and visit my family out in Western Sydney, like, my accent flicks to like a bit more ochre Australian, because they're very ochre Australian.
Yeah.
They're, you know, so for me, my accent does do like a bit of a the twang goes like, that way,
yeah,
right? But for me, like, this is not a bad show. I actually really quite enjoyed it. It's a really good car listen. It's honestly
a really good car listen.
It's designed more for, yeah, that, because I've been moving houses, right?
Listening,
so I was
to
like,
the music while you're driving along,
like,
it's really good.
I was like, I could actually like listen to the soundtrack for this, and I would not have an issue with
Can
it whatsoever.
Can this team please write a musical that isn't Australiana? Would listen 110%.
I'm sure, yep, they will. I'm sure they will.
Yeah,
yeah, and I mean, honestly, like, again, I
feel, I
think,
bad that I hate my own culture,
think,
but when it's just so cartoony, I can't do
it. I think this is as a project and as a concept is a really good one.
Yeah.
Because the thing that's, I don't think, actually saves it is probably the bad use of it. The thing that really elevates it for me is the music is really strong, but,
yeah,
also. They like I said, you know, they've picked those moments beautifully, and it feels very much like a part of the actual show's mesh.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, okay, this works for,
yeah,
me, rather than it just going into like, you know, jazz hands, like you
if
said.
If in a musical, if the song actually enhances my enjoyment,
yeah,
rather than just feeling
it's
like it's
job.
Crammed in there, it's doing its job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, I don't hate it, but the Australianism is really, really strong, and to a point where I'm like, it almost feels somewhat of a parody, but I don't think it's
that
detrimental to the,
yeah,
show in the grand scheme.
I do think that part of the musical genre, I guess if we want to call it that, the musical format, is to heighten,
yeah,
everything. And then when you heighten the Australianism, as Australians, we're like, oh, that's a bit much, isn't,
yeah,
it?
I'd like to know what non-Australians think listening to this musical. I'd like to know if you guys are out there, you're not Australian, and you give, what was it, Slaughterhouse Road a listen and tell us if you think that's what Australians sound like or like what your level of cultural enjoyment was of it. I'd be interested to know whether it's just us cringing at our own dirty shit.
All right. Well, that is Slaughterhouse Road. Let's go to Liz's recommendation from last week, which was the Man Enough podcast.
Yes, I recommended the Man Enough podcast, which features Justin Baldoni and other people whose names I've forgotten. And it kind of talks about what it means to be a man in the world today. And it's trying to create a space of masculinity without the toxicity, without being too, like, woke about it at the same time. It's like they want men to feel like men, but in a way that doesn't strip them of humanity, basically. What did we as men, I would like to know what you guys thought of this.
Then you go first.
Okay, I don't identify as a man. Let's get that out in the first place. I really like this show. It's a good podcast. However, I constantly felt like I was in an echo chamber listening to it because it was like, why does this need to be said? Like, it's the, what they're saying is so obvious because, like, this is a process. Yeah, again, this is a process I personally have gone through in my life. And I'm like, and I would always say to myself, yes, other people need to hear this, though. This show isn't made for me. This show is made for people who are having issues with, like, what is it to be a man in society? Like, now that feminism has come so much more into the forefront, and is men are learning that feminism isn't necessarily a combative thing towards men and their current place in society. How do they reconcile that? I really did like the host. My favorite episode was the one where he was interviewing his wife, I believe, and like just up the top he just said, look, you're allowed to make me uncomfortable, you're allowed to throw me under the bus, I'm not here to look good, I want this to be a real conversation.
I respect that is
really good, and that is what this, that kind of won me over to this podcast. This podcast is like, okay, let's have these discussions in a real way that other people can listen to. Of course, it's edited and it's not a live broadcast. But I really do appreciate what they're doing. I don't know who this podcast is for because I don't hang around with people who suffer enough from the kind of masculinity that they talk about that I would recommend this podcast to them. I'm sure that they exist.
I feel like,
and I hope they listen to it.
I feel like for me, I just think it's anyone who identifies as a man who wants to be a better human.
Also, I think this might actually be for women who are currently dealing with men who aren't recognizing their own toxic masculinity and are trying and trying.
It is a good roundabout podcast. Yeah. Nick, I want to know what you think.
The vibe that I got from this is that it's very gentle. Like, it's a very gentle show to listen to for somebody that discusses some pretty significant shit. It's a very gentle show to listen to. And I think it's hard because I think the vibe that I got from it is that it does feel very echo chambery because I think for me, like, toxic masculinity isn't much of a thing for me personally because I think I washed myself of that quite a long time ago.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure I'd be friends with either of you.
Exactly. Yeah,
like, you know how you guys are people who are already decent humans.
Yeah. Like, you know how to pick your people,
or at least we are open to these discussions in real life.
Yes.
Whereas the people that aren't are the ones that need to listen to this.
Yeah, so. I feel like it's the people who, if you don't really talk to your friends about this kind of stuff, and the people who most need to listen to it won't. Which makes me really sad.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the tough thing because I think that what the show does a very good job of is that it doesn't feel like it's none of this plant the flag sort of argument stuff. It very much is an open discussion of these sort of these masculinity questioning or, you know, whatever experiences. Because the two episodes that I listened to, were the Lil Rel Howery, God, I'm white, and Karamo Brown as well. Which were basically about reframing masculinity, but also doing I guess, things that were considered femme.
Yeah.
So going and getting a pedicure, which, for the record, I fucking love doing. Yeah. I love going and getting a spa pedi. I might actually do it in
but
a few weeks.
Some guys, there are some men out there who would be like, I can't do that. That's girl shit.
But it's interesting because 2 years ago when I got my first spa pedicure, right? When I first went in, I felt uncomfortable because everyone else that was sitting down was female.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
And like, not to cast aspersions or anything, but like, I consider you a quite a masculine man.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I consider myself that as well. Not like, I'm not sitting there getting jacked or whatever.
No,
but,
no, no. You know, not like dude bro man, but
yeah,
like,
exactly.
You're a guy's guy.
And I think it's with that, from that experience, I was just like, this, it feels feminine, but then also I was like, why am I even thinking about this? It's literally just someone shaving my foot.
Yeah,
go and get someone to shave your foot. And yeah, so I did, like, it, and it was like I was like, oh my god, this is incredible,
amazing.
And for me, like, getting past just that thought process of, I guess, you know, questioning what my masculinity, going and getting that done,
yeah.
It was something, I don't know, that was for me, it was as minute a step as it sounds, it was a big step for me personally, right? Because that was the first time I'd had in a long time where I had to question that.
But it sets the precedent of you saying that, like, my masculinity is not defined by whether I let a woman touch my feet.
Yeah, that's exactly
or
right.
Or a man touch your feet, because men can be pedicurists too.
Yeah. Didn't you say there were all women?
Referring to the specific situation. But also, the funny part of that is, halfway through mine, this old dude walks in and he's like, he looks fucking, I'm like, no offense, but he looks fucking horrible. And his feet, I was like, oh. And I felt so bad for the ladies that were doing the foot stuff, but they were like, he was having a grand old time and they were just having a grand old time shaving his corns and that sort of shit. And for me, I felt much more comfortable because that guy, for me, was like, oh, he's really masculine because he's obviously, like, he's very, quite clearly, like, very bogan, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that's a huge tangent because I think for me, the show is, I think this is a really, really good show. And I think the sad point that you make is that the people that probably should listen to it won't.
I think if we put it out into the universe that if anybody is looking for how to be a better human and be okay with what their gender means to them in a masculine way, I guess maybe give it a listen. Maybe, like, this podcast feels like your pedicure experience to me. Like,
yeah, and I mean, like, when I look at it, I think one of the sticking points I made in my notes was that the majority of the guests, if not all the guests, have insane careers. So as great as it is to hear from, you know, a rapper or this platinum mega musician or whatever about their personal experiences with that, I feel like I can't overly relate to some of those experiences because they're very rich or they're coming from a privileged background.
There are quite a few of them in there because I've listened to quite a few of these episodes where they do have an insane career, but they come from a culture that is very manly men. They talk more about their family lives and society's expectations than they do their career. And I find those ones where I am in would be more relevant to me when they start talking about the minutia rather than
their profile. Those sorts of guests are also a stepping stone for people who are interested in those people to find the podcast.
Exactly.
And I think that is how they go about building their audience. Like, obviously they are a very, very, very popular podcast. I mean, you send something through comparing this.
There was
to,
a
like,
meme that
the
I
good Joe Rogan,
that I
right?
came across. They were like healthy swaps to make. They're like, instead of potato chips, kale chips, and it was like at the end, it's like, instead of Joe Rogan, the Man Enough podcast. Like, this should be the new Dude Bro podcast. And I sent it to the boys, and I was like, just saying, guys.
That's the thing. I would love for Joe Rogan to be a guest on this podcast.
Actually, that would be great and terrifying and great. But I mean, the reason I found this is because I listened. Justin Baldoni does like a 17-18 minute TED talk that was one of my favorite TED talks of all time, and I like the fact that he is open to being told that he might not be doing something right. And as humans, I think it's our duty to be open to be told that we might not be doing something right and to be open to learn.
I mean, we need that is most of what society needs now, is accepting constructive criticism. But yeah, I really like the podcast. You should listen to it, and get your friends to listen to it as well.
Yeah, and like I said, it does talk about some heavy stuff, but it still handles things quite gently, yeah. You know, it
well,
is
that's
very
the thing,
gentle.
Like,
no combativeness.
No, no. And that's the thing, what I think I took out of it, I'll, like the vibe that I got, I was like, oh, this is like actually quite nice to listen to because it's not like when you, I guess when you look at it just really surface level, it's not really like men being men, masculinity. It's very much like not that at all.
Well,
like,
that's the thing. It really opposite. Does demonstrate how you can be masculine in a positive way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in a non-aggressive way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. 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 And it's not that hard.
All right. Well, those are our three reviews from last week. So let's just remind everyone what we recommended this week. I recommended Stir the Plot, a movie improvisation podcast. Liz?
I recommended Coma Girl, a very short daily serial about what a girl hears when she's in a coma and all the different mysteries that brings up for her.
And Nick?
I recommended Crime in Sports. Pretty simple.
It's crime.
Crime.
In sports. if you would like your podcast to be featured on this this podcast, then all you need to do is let us know. Reach out on social media or send us an email at castologypodcast@gmail.com or go to our website, thatsnotcanon.com/castology, and fill out the handy form there. We won't guarantee that it'll make the show, but we will guarantee that I'll listen.
Yes, we will guarantee that Zane will listen.
Yeah, and I mean, if you have any podcasts that you particularly enjoy, or if you want to let us know that you cringe when cartoonish versions of your culture are portrayed at you, let us know. Yeah. I've been Zane C. Weber here with
Liz Best
and
Nick Bleeker.
Keep listening to podcasts, everyone.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.